change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. My guest today is Jackie Daughtry. Jackie is the Executive Director of Literacy Now. Jackie, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me today.
Absolutely. You're in Houston?
I am.
And what is Literacy Now? How big is your organization, and what kind of a footprint do you have throughout the city?
Well, we are throughout the city on 10 different campuses in Houston ISD. But we are really what we say serving the tip of the iceberg of what's needed as far as early childhood reading intervention for young kiddos, kinder through second grade, who are really struggling to get those foundational skills.
Right. Right. And how do you do that? How do you help them?
Well, we have our primary program is, we call it reading intervention, and it's really just like it sounds. It's very small groups for students to one interventionist that is very, I'm going to call it prescriptive. So think about a doctor's prescription. And so based on exactly what that child needs, the skills that they are missing in order to set a really strong foundation to be proficient readers by the time they're in third grade.
Right. Right. And you've been with this organization since the start. Am I not mistaken?
You are right. I have for 14 years.
Goodness.
Yep.
So you've seen a ton of changes over time, I'm sure.
I really have. We literally, the founder, Jerry Davis, and I started just really on my dining room table. It's one of those kind of organizations that started in that way with his amazing vision and just a very strong desire on both of our parts to come alongside children and their families, children and families that just didn't have access to great academic opportunities for help when they needed it, as well as social emotional support for not only the children, but their families as well.
I mean, many questions I want to ask you, but the notes that you had sent me, one of the first things you wanted to talk about was stewardship of resources, which I'm sure must have been on your mind from that first conversation on your dining room table. How do we have that conversation about how to properly steward your resources?
Well, that has been something that's has been very important since day one. And when I say resources, I mean, obviously people think of the financial resources, but I also mean time, staffing, relationships, volunteers, paid staff, just partners, just stewarding of all of those resources, right. Intellectual, social, all of those things.
Is the stewarding of a donor different than the stewarding of a volunteer or anything else?
Well, in some ways it's different, but the common thread that runs through every part of stewardship in my mind and the basis for everything we do at Literacy Now is about relationships. So really building those relationships, it's not transactional. You know, it's not transactional with our students or with their families or with the schools we partner with or the other nonprofits or our donors, volunteers, our staff members. It's not transactional. It's relational. We want to build a really firm and long-lasting relationship that's going to stand the test of time. And I truly believe and know that that is the reason that we've been able to grow and never have to cut back services through 14 years. We've been through a couple of recessions and a couple of oil downturns in Houston, mm-hmm. which is, you know, big in Houston. But through it all, we have grown every year.
Amazing. So relationships are what matter, no matter what resource you're stewarding.
Yes. Yes.
How do you do it? How do you do that? And what in your mind are the top 3 to 5 things that are important when doing that kind of relationships building?
We have a saying really that we call pouring into people, whether it's the children or their families or just any relationship, just really being very intentional. And as I said, not transactional. It's not about, well, what's in it for us. It's really about the other people, even when it comes to our partner organizations. We're not covetous of, oh, this is ours. You know, we want to kind of serve with open hands, you know, and open hearts to, and that's really across the board, our volunteers, our staff, our donors. And some of those are all the same, you know, but they feel a part of it's a very, even though we've grown a lot, it still has very much of a family type feel. And I credit that 100% to our culture of relationship and the people that we hire and the volunteers that we attract. That is something that really resonates with them. And so it's across the board. It's not just me or our other leadership team. It's everybody. It just permeates every level of our organization.
So I feel like, I mean, I don't want to be repeat asking you the question, but what is the secret to keeping those relationships genuine? I mean, you've talked about setting a culture up front, but how do you think you're succeeding with building that cultural expectations where so many other organizations seem to, I don't want to use the word fail, but I will use the word struggle.
Well, I'll tell you, it is top of mind. Right now, we are embarking on quite an ambitious, we're in year one of a 5-year expansion plan to quadruple the number of students served in reading intervention over that time period.
Wow.
Yes. Wow is right. It's daunting, but it's just, we just have to do it. I mean, it's just not an option. Right. So that has been a concern expressed particularly by our employees. They want to expand because they know the need is great. However, they're fearful that we would lose what we have in that relationship, in that culture of a family type culture. And I continue to tell them that, as one of our former board members was so fond of saying, relationship is our secret sauce. That's what makes us different. And so, a lot of our, from day one, with our training with employees, with our onboarding of new employees, and then annual and ongoing professional development for all of our staff, we always emphasize relationship. And it also comes from the top, not just from me, but also our program director and our development director, that they both are very bought in, I guess, if you want to call it that, to this same notion. And just for anybody who's in a leadership capacity to understand the importance of that relationship building with staff and volunteers and donors, and understand what the word cultivate means. You know, you think about, just like in your own personal life with your family or your spouse or your friends, it's an investment. It's an investment of yourself, your heart, of your time, and just really having that as a thread that runs through every single thing we do. I mean, we send Valentine cards to our donors and partners. We send, you know, birthday cards with handwritten notes to every employee on their birthday, a real card in the mail. If we were able to be in person at the staff meeting we had last week, I would have given a little Valentine with a handwritten note and a chocolate to each employee. We have 39 employees.
Right.
Just those little touches that you think of when you're trying to maintain an important relationship. That's what we do with our volunteers, with our donors, with our kiddos, and with our staff.
Right. So basically reaching out to folks and treating them all like family.
Yes, exactly. Maybe better than family, because everybody didn't treat their family that well.
And my family doesn't give me chocolate for Valentine's Day. But okay, so this is good. I like that. I like the idea that stewardship is the secret sauce. I think that's a brilliant way to encapsulate that. And I got to congratulate you for being able to have that permeate your culture. I think that is definitely something that a lot of business environments struggle with, not just nonprofit business environments, but it's, I think, something that we could all benefit from trying to do more for each other.
Well, I think it is. My husband and I, he's in the for-profit world, and he is constantly amazed at the things that we do. Amazed in a good way, but he chuckles a little bit also, because his employer, where he's been for 20 years, is more like, I'm giving you a paycheck. What else do you want? Right. You know?
Right.
And sadly, I think that's often, you know, the thought process in a lot of organizations, for profit and nonprofit. But, right. You know, in nonprofit, although we are very diligent about keeping salaries and benefits in line with other nonprofits in Houston, we all know that sadly the nonprofit wage scale is different than the for-profit wage scale. And so I feel like it's really important to build in things that are not just about money.
Yeah.
You know, that people really do thrive on appreciation, and not just your employees, but your donors. I can't tell you how many of our donors, when I'm making a call to them, just to, you know, hey, how are you doing call, especially during the pandemic, we've done even more of that than we normally do, but thanking them for a donation or their support or for volunteering, whatever it is. And I am shocked at how many of them tell me, while they're expressing appreciation for us taking the time to do that, that we're one of the few organizations that they give to that actually really thank people in a, I'm going to call it, robust way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really sad, because people, they're not doing it for the thanks, but we just don't want to ever take people for granted. You know, every day is a gift, every person is a gift, and we need to remember that and treat people and our time accordingly, and their time accordingly.
Right. Good stuff. I want to keep talking about this, but we should switch gears a little bit. And the other thing that you wrote in your notes to me originally was talking about the challenge of growing during a pandemic. And, you know, just to underline that for folks, we're talking about growing during a pandemic, not just maintaining during a pandemic, right?
Right. We actually did grow. We thought we were going to have to suspend for this school year our growth plan, just because of uncertainty of what our program delivery model was going to be, and then of course finances. And again, through relationships with my talking with one of our long-term donors, who's really been our largest donor for many years.
Mm-hmm.
He was just asking me what we were doing. We were talking about our plans and how we had pivoted to doing live virtual sessions and all of these different things. And I was expressing my disappointment that we had to call four principals to let them know that we wouldn't be able to serve them this, you know, in 2021. They were part of our expansion. and that we were going to have to back out of CERT coming to their campus just because of so much uncertainty, which of course they understood. And I started talking to him about how our current principals had expressed to us that they really had more need on their campuses than we were currently able to fill just because of financial restraints. And so he asked, we talked about that, and he said, well, what would that cost? And so our program director and I put together a proposal, and I sent it to him and came back, and he said, I will write the check for that. I will fund that.
Wow.
And if you can imagine, during the first few months of the pandemic, the joy that our program director, Jacqueline, and I got to experience when we had the blessing to have Zoom meetings with each of our 10 principals to tell them that we were going to increase the number of kids served on their campus by 25%, and it was not going to cost them a dime.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks to the generosity of this one donor. It was amazing.
That is kind of amazing. So still, your ability to grow did come out of solid stewardship of a particular resource.
Yes, absolutely. It did. And I could go on and on about that, but I won't. It's just amazing. It really showed us one more time, relationship, stewardship, cultivation is everything.
Right. How did you, let's rewind a little bit. How did you decide that this was the direction you wanted to go in the middle of pandemic?
Well, it would have been a lot easier to keep things as they were because increasing, you know, that amount is hard in a non-pandemic year, right?
Right.
But we just have such a strong desire on our staff to serve more students. We know the need is great. And I couldn't be prouder of our staff, the way they have just pulled out all the stops to do whatever it takes. I won't say there haven't been some tears, because there certainly has been. Frustration over technology, lack of connection with a lot of our students, because our students that we serve are all low-income children, primarily low-income and children of color. That describes 90%+ of our students. So there were a lot of obstacles, despite the fact of a little bit of trepidation on some of our interventionists' part. The day that HISD decided finally in mid or early October to go back to offer in-person learning, people were like, even though I'm a little nervous about it, oh my gosh, it's so great to be back, you know? We still have 5 of our 28 online, because there's enough children that are only online that we have 5 that are not on campus still.
Right, right. Amazing. Just amazing, Jackie. And kudos to you for steering the whole thing and making it all happen. I think that's just brilliant. What advice would you have for other nonprofits who may be in a similar position these days? What lessons or what tips might you share with them real quick?
I would say just, it's this incredibly challenging time in multiple ways, but you have, dig deep, you know, you really have more inside of you than you think you do. And so does your staff, but really support your staff and your volunteers, really, really surround them with support way more than you normally would, because it's a hard time, not just for work, but personally as well for a lot of people.
Right.
And I think when we provide the support and just the love and the heart, it's amazing what we can do. Really, yeah. It is. Don't ever give up. You just can't give up.
Well said. Well said, Jackie. Thank you. If a listener wanted to get in contact with you for any reason, how would you suggest they do that?
Well, you can go to our website at literacynowhouston.org and go to the contact page, and you'll see my name and my email and my cell phone number. And I'd love to hear from any of your listeners.
Fantastic. Jackie, thank you. I know you're busy, but thank you for taking the time to do this recording with me today.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
To our listeners, thank you as always for joining us. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating via whatever mechanism you use to listen to the Snapcast. Your 5-star ratings make us more findable by search engines, and we are grateful to you for helping us grow our audience. In the meantime, we'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.